Welcome to Prognosis. Awesome. Very important topic today. Something that we should all think about. We should all think about it deeply. I'm going to talk about loyalty today. Is a topic that's very important to me. And trust. Loyalty and trust. How hard is that, right? Think about how hard loyalty and trust is. And think about how many people you trust. Like, really trust. Not a lot, right? Not too many. A bunch of people you don't trust. A bunch of people have hurt you. A bunch of people fucked you. A bunch of people who have crossed you. Today's guest is not one of those people. He's a person I trust implicitly. Think about those people who you feel like you could leave your loved ones alone with them and everything's going to be great. Who you feel like you could, if you were really in trouble, this person would help you out in that. Is who our guest is today. But you're not going to find that out yet unless you read the title of this podcast, which has his name. But that's not important right now because we are going to talk to just a wonderful person. It's my co-host, Gabby. Hi, Gabby. How you doing?
I'm so well, Luke. How are you?
I'm doing great. Gabby, who do you trust? Give me a list of trusted people in your life.
Oh, you know, I count myself lucky that I have many family members and friends who I trust. And, you know, I count you among that number, Lou. I would trust you with a half-eaten sandwich.
Yeah, there it is. I was waiting for it to happen.
I would trust you with my recycling bin. Uh-huh. So many things, you know, you're just a stand-up kind of guy and, just trust you so much, Lou.
Well, the problem is the last thing you could trust me with is a half-eaten sandwich because I will finish your sandwich. That's one of the best parts about being a boy is, we can eat the rest of the food that other people don't eat and it's wonderful. But Gabby, I really appreciate your backhanded compliment. I wouldn't, expect any less.
Well, you know. That you can trust that of me. You know, you can trust backhanded compliments and side eye and, you know, all that wonderful stuff that makes us work.
Yeah, I can trust Gabby to Gabby. Gabby will always Gabby. She will never do anything but Gabby, and I appreciate that. But we are now going to introduce the sexy music. We're playing. So we've got a new thing we're doing here where we're introducing our guests. And we let them pick a song that's going to pump them so far the fuck up. This is one of my closest friends, a guy you've heard a lot on this podcast before. He's done so much of our voiceover work. He's actually a professional voiceover worker. He is a guy I bartended with before. And he's a guy who I would trust a half-eaten sandwich with. We have the fabulous, the talented, the wonderful Nate Haskell. How you doing, Nate?
Great. How are you today?
I'm doing great. That's what was that song we played for you, Nate?
The one I just stopped now?
Yeah.
It's called Sexy Eyes by a lovely band called Dr. Hook.
So I asked Nate, you know, what song would he play if he's walking up to the ring to fight? And he is a man who has done that with 4 times.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Four, right?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So he has had that opportunity in the past. And one thing to know about Nate and I is Nate and I fought each other in a disgusting Alston basement once. Isn't that right?
We did. It was my first fight and it was a good time.
It was one of those stories where Nate and I were out for the inaugural baseball game. And I was obliterated. Mm-hmm. And Nate was looking to have his first amateur kickboxing fight. And his partner had just dropped out. Is that right?
Yeah, or I couldn't find anyone because I was so terrible. No one wanted to go against me.
I remember you telling me you had a guy lined up and he dropped out last minute. And he's like, I need someone to fight. And I am like 1,000 sheets to the wind. And I'm like, I'll do it. And I'm like, when's the fight? You're like 36 hours. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, it was great. I also kicked him in the elbow when we were warming up for the fight. And my ankles swell up like a spade beagle. It was beautiful.
It wasn't great. Wow. It wasn't great.
I love the way you frame that too. Is like you in a basement in Alston doesn't exactly inspire feelings of confidence or, you know, genuine.
Nor should it.
You know, just sounds real, you know, sketchy. I'll just say that.
It's super sketchy. It is a gym that Nate used to train at. And it's what they call in the business a smoker, which is like an amateur kind of underground, not so much regulated or anything, kind of amateur fights. And it was super fun and we had a great time. But Nate is one of the people I can trust, folks. And he's one of these people. I'm like, you know what? I think that Nate has my best interests in mind. And how many people can you say that about? That's an interesting thing to think about.
It's true. I care about him.
Oh, I mean, that's literally the only people we can get on this show is people who really like Lou. So
I'm running out. We're going to have to end this podcast pretty soon. But we have the lovely and talented Nate Haskell on the show today. But before we get into stuff, I want to give my unbelievable co-host a chance to get to know Nate. And I'm going to turn it over to her.
All right. So we know that Lou trusts Nate, but do I trust Nate? I have a few questions, sir, to get to the bottom of this. We're going to play a game called Identity Crisis. Basically, I'm going to give you two names, and you're going to tell me which one you are more like. Okay? This can be fictional, real, dead, alive, cartoon, all of the above. So are you
ready for that kind
ready
of challenge, Nate? You ready
to
for that?
Tell me who you are, to bare your soul, yeah. Nate? Okay, good.
Okay, let's do it. I'm ready.
All right, Nate. Are you like the monkeys or the Arctic monkeys?
Probably more like the original monkeys because I always have a stupid haircut.
I know.
This is bullshit. Nate's one of the best features is his hair. He's got great hair.
Yeah, he lifted his ball cap up for a second, and that is a very cool style, I have to say. When I picture voiceover actors, you know, usually there's a reason they're not on screen. But for
radio
listeners, you know, you got a face for TV, Nate. You're all right.
He's a beautiful boy, and everybody needs to know about it.
Oh, shucks. Thank you.
But he is like the monkeys because I've been writing all his material for the last 6 years.
It's true, right? Even this right now is scripted. I have no idea what's
coming
next. He's
reading off a whiteboard right now.
Laugh. Pause.
His teleprompter's crazy.
These stage directions. Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, let's move on then. Are you more like F. Scott Fitzgerald or Mary Queen of Scots?
Well, F. Scott Fitzgerald's got some mental anguish. I can relate to that, and
To be fair, so does Mary Queen of Scots. There's a lot of bad blood.
Okay, well, that was just an easy way for me to say I don't know anything about her, so I could only go with the first option.
We need to get you a super toxic relationship to get you into that F. Scott Fitzgerald.
I had one of those when I was like 21.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay. You know, and I've tried to instill as big a drinking problem as I can on Nate, but he's pretty resistant.
So
maybe right in the middle of those two.
Okay. All right. So a little less drama. I mean, I think on the drama scale, F. Scott's kind of lower. So that's good to know. All right. Boosting your trust score. Mm-hmm. Continuing on the British monarchy. Are you more like Queen or the Queen of England?
Goodness gracious. That is a tough one. I mean, I would like to conquer many lands and be very wealthy. So I think I would like to be more like her.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I don't know. Queen is just... I can't give you an answer on this
time's
one.
Time's running out, man. Pick one.
You must choose.
All right, Queen. Regular. Straight up Queen.
Straight up Queen.
Maybe call him Mr. Fahrenheit is what we call him. You know?
Good old-fashioned lover boy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that does a service to your reputation. Queen is the right answer.
We frown upon
colonialism here on this podcast.
Oh, do we? I kind of like it. Oh, uh-oh.
Apparently not unanimously. So, I think we learned a little bit more about Nate. So thank you for indulging me in Identity Crisis.
Woo!
My pleasure. Thank you.
There we go. So we know a little bit more about Nate. Nate has many skills. Nate bartends. He's a voiceover artist. He's a Muay Thai kickboxer. But what we want to do is delve back into the folds of time and find out what makes him tick. Find out what makes him happy. Find out what made him feel powerful. Find out what makes him say, hey, this life thing, not so bad. So that's what we do on this show. We ask people to tell us about awesome stuff. Stuff that makes the fireworks go off in your eyes. Stuff that makes you want to stick around for a little while, frankly, you know? So, Nate, tell us about something awesome.
So, everything's pretty recent for me that's been awesome. Up until then, I've kind of...
A lot of people can say that.
Yeah, I know. I'm very fortunate in that sense. I mean, but like leading up to that, I'm an extremely, extremely slow learner. So it's been very difficult to make any progress in relationships or like emotional develop as a human being. But that being said, professionally, things have been going pretty well, aside from being miserable at my bartending job. last summer, I got an opportunity to audition for a voiceover for a commercial gig, radio, actually. And somehow, I auditioned on my cell phone, and I got the job. And it was the best 3 hours of work I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
And it just inspired me to start getting into this field. So I started connecting to everybody I knew, which was nobody. I started taking classes, and I started making friends and going to conferences and whatnot. And now I'm, like, at the point where I'm almost ready to have a demo and start, like, becoming my own business, which is really cool. So I'm just looking forward to something new, and I feel partially alive because of it, less dead, dare I say.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I think I was there when you got the news, you know, because Nate and I have been doing like one dumb project after another over the years, just to kind of something to do around. And, you know, I've helped Nate out with a couple of the VO stuff, and we always have some sort of dumb project going either. But I remember when you told me about that. And this is really kind of what I these are the things that like boys don't talk about really. You know, but I think it's kind of interesting to talk about because Nate, what are you, 31, 32?
32.
32, right? So when I was 32, I was just like, what am I doing? Where is my direction in life? What is my meaning? Do I have any meaning?
He was teaching me to bartend.
Yeah, right. that was my meaning, right? But I was just like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I'm not going anywhere, I'm not doing anything. But right around that age, probably it's actually about 34 for me, but I found something. I was like, oh man, this is a thing I could do. And I feel like in today's age, that's kind of a pretty normal age for an American male to find some sort of purpose. So what I want you to do is go back to telling me, how did you find out that you got the gig?
Well, it's a very exciting story. Mm-hmm. I got an email and it said, you booked it.
So tell me about, where were you when you got it?
I was sitting on my couch. Mm-hmm. I'd probably just woken up at like, you know, the crack of 10 o'clock or something like that, having my coffee. And it's just a pleasant way to start the day when you know, hey, you're going to get paid for something. Yeah. Unless they happen to back out on you the last second. But that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So how did you even decide to start doing this work? Because like, listening to you, it seems obvious now that I know. But like, when were you like, oh, I could make money off of saying things?
I literally had no idea until I got this gig. So I don't like to talk about this stuff, but I do modeling, right? So that's why I have an agent that sent me that audition. My bread and butter is like getting married. I'm a fake husband for like five shoots at this point.
Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. Ladies,
yeah.
if you want to picture Nate, just like, yeah, think of any wedding photographer you've ever seen and like, that's the guy.
So that being said, I much prefer not being on camera. And so this just seemed like an excellent opportunity because I can act like a real, real weirdo when I'm in a recording booth or something like that. I get really animated, which you can see and none of the listeners can right now, but really getting excited.
Lots of gesticulating. Yes.
Yes. So then that worked out. And I mean, money is such a huge motivator. It's a great lucrative field. So I just started taking classes and it just kind of seemed to click, like it started working. People liked my voice. So
I'm just lucky. Is it weird to me, though, that, I mean, if you were modeling before, what made the agent be like, oh, voice acting? Like, that seems like a really big switch.
I mean, I think, honestly, I don't think I'm special. I think they just send it to everybody since they're on the roster.
Just every opportunity. It's just like
everybody in the agency who's listed, they shoot the email out to you, as far as I know. And if anyone's good, then it'll work out.
One of the shotgun pellets hit Nate.
Exactly. That is exactly the best way to put it.
So no one's like, you know what? I feel like I could hear your voice on there. Like no one, there's no signs that like, oh.
None that I can think of. I mean, maybe. I don't want to give them like less credit than they deserve. Maybe they're like, you know what? Nate's got a good voice. Let's fire this off to him. But I think it was luck of the draw.
So when you got that email, give me like 2 sentences of what went through your head at the time as you opened that email and you read it.
Can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Holy shit. That's two separate thoughts.
Yeah, so, like, I can imagine, because I've gotten a couple of these feelings in the last couple of years, you know, when you get that thing and you win this or do that, you're like, I might be okay. Like, I might be worth something. Did you have any thoughts like that?
Yeah, I've been kind of, like, it's weird because normally I'm just a self-loathing piece of shit. So this is one thing where I'm like, you know what? I feel like if I actually practice and put effort into this, I think I could get somewhere. Where with everything else, I just never felt motivated enough to practice. I mean, maybe it's desperation because I'm getting old, you know, and I have no savings and I'm in debt. No big deal. But I don't know. It just feels like something I can do and I enjoy it.
Yeah. Do you feel like it gives you a purpose?
It gives me joy.
Wow.
Yeah, it gives me a purpose as well. It's great.
How often do you have joy, Nate?
Once a month.
Yeah.
Something like that? Like, not very frequently. I can look happy all the time. Like, you're on stage as a bartender. Everybody thinks I'm happy.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I'm usually miserable.
Why are you so miserable, Nate?
You know what? I blame genetics and hereditary depression.
You think so?
Yeah. Your and I'm too good for medications.
Your parents are...
Oh, my God.
Are dark, too?
Oh, Lord. Well, no, they're not, because they're all... they take medication. They treat themselves. My mom
treat
is
yourself.
Very,
right?
Yeah, treat yourself with like Wellbutrin or something like that.
Zola.
Side effects include no.
See, he can't help. He can't help not doing the voice switch.
Yeah, exactly.
Into the side effects.
He's about to go like through 30 side effects.
Man. Yeah, sorry, I'm going on autopilot. No. It's a big family thing. It's life's been a weird trip. Lots of interesting. Adventures since I was a child, so kind of dwell on the negative things, but that's okay. I'm here and I'm not going anywhere.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
I literally have never had a goal in my life.
What the fuck, really?
Yeah, I've never been like, oh, I want to be a firefighter or an astronaut or any of that cliche, fucking infantile bullshit. Kids don't know what they're talking about anyway, so I didn't want to be one of them.
What did you write on the piece of paper when they made you? Like, everyone's like those boards.
A dog? I don't know. Because they're carefree and happy.
Wait, so is this like your first goal of your life?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
What a fucking, like, huge, just a, you know, a huge opening up, a huge event, a huge revelation to have a goal for the first time. Why didn't you have any goals before?
Well, if I'm going to be honest, like my only other moderate goal was to do that one actual sanctioned fight that I did.
Yeah.
Because that was like a big deal.
Was that in a basement?
No, that was actually like in a hall with like 1,000 people watching.
A bunch of people. Yeah, I was there.
Huh. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I had a coach who was a really wonderful guy, and he always wanted me to do it, but he passed away. Unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to do it to make him proud, so I just fucking did it. It was a good driving force. So that was my only moderate goal. But professionally speaking, this is it.
Yeah. So you did it to make him proud. Why did he mean so much to you?
Because he was just a very motivational person. He made me feel like I was worth more than just another body in the gym that's paying to learn something, barely. Mm-hmm. You know, just that kind of person who's super supportive of you no matter what.
Jesus Christ. So you felt like you finally had someone in your corner and you were like, I'm going to do it for this guy.
Yeah.
Literally in your corner, right?
Yeah, literally in my corner.
But this one may be different because instead of doing it for someone else, you're doing it for you.
It's very true. I mean, that's what keeps me going with it, I think. So.
What a fucking cool story. Gabby, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just wondering who's helping you now?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Who's helping you now? Who are the people in your life that are supporting you with this?
Oh, God. So the voiceover community is so incredibly supportive. Like, every single person. Like, right now I've got a guy named Brad who is just wonderful. I met him at a conference in Dallas. And he's, I literally can't describe how helpful he is. Connecting with people to help progress my career in so many ways. And I've got Steve Corona and Michelle Campbell out of I'm getting all excited and flustered here. They're from New Mexico. They've got a company called Southwest Voices, and I've did a lot of my introductory training with them. And no matter what, if I'm sending an audition, I can send it to them and they'll reach back and let me know what I got to tweak. And it's just, I just have a lot of good friends that I'm making now.
What do you notice that's different about your life pre that opportunity and post that opportunity?
Well, pre that opportunity, I was just dreading going to work and being on stage at the bar with no light at the end of this very long tunnel.
I can relate to that.
It's extremely hopeless because, I mean, you make the money, but it always just winds up going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like, wow, that's a light. And it motivates me to not be so reckless.
Mm. What do you mean reckless?
Like with spending. You know, you make pretty good living as a bartender, and it becomes pretty easy to travel. And especially when you work where we did at a higher end place, like you get accustomed to good food and good drinks. So you just want to pretend that you actually have the means to eat like that regularly.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is an unbelievable story. Like you think about thinking back to your first goal, you know, the first thing that motivated you to do something. I think there's a lot of people out there who are kind of muddling, you know, just kind of ambling, walking around in a circle, fucking waiting to die, you know, and I felt that way, certainly at certain points. But to finally have that little victory, because it seems like this is what this was, have that little victory that put a spark in your brain, that made you feel you were worth it, that made you feel that you could do it, that gave you a goal, something to strive for, something to achieve for. That's fucking awesome. And Nate, thanks for telling us about something awesome. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What a just a raucous start to the show. It's got my brain going in circles because I'm trying to think of now who I'm doing stuff for. So think about that while you're listening to this, you know. Who are you doing stuff for? Who is your support group? Who helps you out? Like, I know I can call Nate if I need something. You know, even if it's a fucking dumb infantile bullshit project that I want to do, he's always there to do it. So think about who your support circle is, who those people are. Who are you doing stuff for to improve yourself? And beyond that, what are you doing that's just for you? Because that's super important.
And, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard the expression, leap and a net will appear. But there's as soon as you start doing the thing that you are meant to be doing, invisible helping hands start coming out of the woodwork in the form of Steve and Brad and all these other people. So it's I can only imagine it's really heartwarming to kind of be on your path and get gaining momentum and getting all this help from people that, you know, a year ago you probably didn't even know and didn't even know they existed or that it was a thing. You know, that support system is so critical.
Gabby, what's your purpose, huh? What's your fucking purpose, huh, Gabby? What do you got?
To bring joy to the world, Lou.
Oh, bullshit answer. Yeah. All right. So
seriously, that is my mission statement, is to bring joy to people.
I like that. Writing. I don't know you very well. I think it's great.
Well, thank you, Nate. Your trust meter is going higher and higher. I mean, you know, Nate, maybe we can talk later about a separate podcast without me.
Sounds good.
Ooh, yeah. I think you should, frankly. It's one spot.
I can edit the sound.
Anyway, Lou, can keep transitioning us. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, one more point. Ooh. I think the biggest thing about everything I've gone through is like, nothing tells imposter syndrome to go fuck itself like getting a paycheck when you've accomplished something.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
oh, yeah.
This has to be real because this is in my hands.
Imposter syndrome is something that I deal with a lot because I kind of live my life with a very basic, you know, philosophy. Bite off more than you can chew and just fucking figure it out. That's kind of like your thing with the jumping and that will appear, right? You know, just go for it and you'll figure it out. Yeah, sometimes the net doesn't appear and it really sucks when you hit the bottom of that gorge. But you know what? If like you said, if you're meant to do it, you know, you'll fall in the net more times than you don't. And that's a great indicator of how you're meant to do it. But yeah, I always say there's no victory until the check clears. And Nate Haskell is making those fucking checks clear. So great job, Nate. And thanks for telling us about something awesome.
Shucks. Thank you.
That has been the first half of Prognosis Awesome for this week. We've heard Nate talk about his successes. We've heard Nate talk about purpose. And we have had Gabby deftly avoid all of my questions like a jerk. So we are going to come back in the second half, and we will be right back.
Jingle What's that you hear? Christmas songs in November? I know what you're thinking. I have so many presents to buy, so many friends and family to shop for. Well, if you're Christmas shopping, this is a tall order, and you're short on cash, we have the solution. Fuck 'em! Disavow your parents. Ditch your spouse. Sell your kids on Etsy. Fake your death if you gotta. Sink your Christmas gift budget into shelf-stable goods and die alone in the woods like a real man. People are parasites and society is a joke. What are you gonna let Santa run your life? Coward. This message brought to you by Red Pill Outfitters. This year, celebrate the Christmas spirit. In spirit. Dancing and prancing in
jingle bells. Welcome back to Prognosis Awesome. We chatted about some things that left me speechless. Think about that, dickheads. How often have you heard that, Gabby?
Dickheads a lot from you.
All right. God damn it. Why are you evading my questions today, Gabby? You're an impenetrable wall to me.
That was a very sincere answer. That was like, I wrote that in my journal. That's on my personal mission statement. What do you want from me?
I want some actual sincerity, Gabby. That's what I want.
That was the most sincere I could be. Do you want me? I will photocopy my journal and mail it to you, Lucy.
You know what? I would like that. I would like a photocopy of your what is it, like 14 separate volumes?
Yesterday, Lou was mean to me. He made fun of my mahogany glasses, and that really hurt because I don't even need to wear these. There is no prescription,
but I still
enjoy wearing them.
That can't be true, right? Are those non-prescription?
It's the blue light things. But also, I think it just helps me focus. It's like a psychological crutch.
I'm going to join.
Now Nate is also putting on his glasses.
So, God. That's definitely for character work. It's like a guy from Office Space.
I was growing a creepy mustache when I bought these too, so it was like extra pedophile-y.
Yeah.
Yikes, that is terrible. Why don't you put your sunglasses on, Lou? I saw you had those in tow.
I forgot we were recording already.
There we go.
Nice.
Yep. Guys, we look extra cool for an auditory medium. We're doing a great job. On the first half of the show, we heard Nate Haskell talk about having the first goal of his life. Very inspiring. It was very nice. But forget all that bullshit. We are talking about misery and sadness. We're talking about the not awesome things in life. Because, as we say every week on this show, failure is nature's greatest teacher. It helps you find out so much about a person. So that's what we do here on Prognosis Awesome. We bring up people to talk about not awesome stuff. Times where you failed. Would you get divorced or you get fired from your job or, you know, maybe it's a piece of literature that you really just hated. Just something that left a real mark on you. And that's what we've got Nate Haskell on to talk about in the second half. So Nate Haskell, if you don't mind, tell us about something that's not awesome.
I can tell you a few non-awesome things. The beginning of the non-awesomeness happens with a little tale called Nate Moves to Boston for an internship.
Mm-hmm.
So I never knew what I wanted to do in college. I was jumping through all kinds of departments and stuff. Graphic design, web design, which is horrible. Don't do that. Coding's very tedious. And then I settled on professional communications, right? So that was going. It was great. And it comes to capstone internship time. So my advisor's like, hey, you got to go to this firm. It's in Austin. It's a PR firm. And I'm like, I've never done PR. He's like, you're going to do great. It's perfect. So I go to PR firm. A couple days go by. I got a whole new professional wardrobe and stuff. I'm feeling like a real ready-to-go guy. And we have the first real day where we're going to, I think it was like CBS or something. They're doing a news promotion thing.
Well, I've heard of them.
Yeah. And this is where it takes a turn. So I got a text from my friend saying, hey, did you hear about James' accident? And James is a friend of mine. He was my best friend from the time that I was 12 years old. And he had recently gotten a motorcycle. So immediately I knew something was terribly wrong. And I called the hospital where I knew he was somehow, or the most local one to wherever the accident would have been. And I had to lie and say I was his brother to get through to his parents. And I was informed that my best friend died on the first day of my internship when I came to Boston. Like, that was really probably the most difficult thing in my life that I've ever had to face. So I was all ready to start this whole new chapter of my life.
How old were you?
23 years old. And that's actually leads to how I met Lou. Because I gave up on corporate life. I'm like, fuck working in an office. This is miserable. It was a 6-month internship, and I did not get a lick of, what's the word I'm looking for? Empathy from the people I had worked with. Mm. So I just fucking quit and worked in a hotel.
Yeah. Well, when did you meet this guy?
The sixth grade. I actually did not like him one bit when I first met him.
A lot of my relationships start off that way, too.
First impressions in Lou don't really go
together. They're often bad.
They're all bad.
Yeah.
Man. How did you react at the, like, did you leave? Did you, what did you do?
Oh, yeah. I left. I was supposed to have a date that night. I texted them and said, hey, something bad happened.
Yeah.
I can't go out. I went and bought a pack of cigarettes and chain smoked it on the way home while listening to Alice in Chains and screaming and crying.
Yeah.
It was really delightful.
So what kind of things did you guys, get together over? What did you guys share? What about James did you really value?
We had very different family lives. Like, he had a more connected family unit, so I tried to spend as much time as possible over there with him. His family always cooked very nice meals. We really bonded over food and just hanging out doing dumb shit. I mean, we'd known each other since we were 13 years old.
Yeah.
So from, like, reflecting on, hey, man, did you measure your dick today? Yeah, I measured mine. How big's your dick? To, like, playing Halo and, like, getting drunk when we're 16 and, fuck, you know, going off to college and having that whole thing happen.
Gabby, what Nate just described is essentially the entirety of being 14 and a boy. Like, that's basically it.
Yeah,
I feel like Jane Goodall amongst these. So wonderful. I'm learning so much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, you name it. Young kids do stupid shit, but.
So yeah, like, so many male relationships start off like that. Hey, do you want to go do some really dumb shit together? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go do some really dumb shit together. And you find out what dumb shit you both like and you do it.
Yeah. We just kind of bonded over being pricks in like eighth grade. We're just like, our defense mechanism was being really mean and making fun of everybody.
Yeah.
And we kind of bonded through that. Obviously, we developed into more sensitive beings. Like, I cried watching Deadpool 2. I'm fucked right now emotionally.
Yeah. Deadpool 2?
His girlfriend dies. It's really sad.
True. That is kind of a sad part. Yeah.
Spoiler. No, it's. I'm glad you have feelings. Lou says he only has like 3 feelings. And
it's
like,
true.
Rage, anger, and
hunger.
Fury.
So. I think they're
hunger.
He just doesn't like to talk about them.
No, he has got so many feelings. Like, you poke him and a few come out. Like, it's just, you're chock full of feelings, Lou.
So Gabby, this isn't about me or my refusal to talk about my feelings.
This is actually an intervention. I'm not against.
Oh, no! I fell right into it. Oh, why is this door locked?
So you you get the text, you smoke a bunch of cigarettes. Like, what does, and then what? Like, what's the next few date? Like, do you go back to the office the next day? Where is, like, where was he and where were you? You were in Alston. Where was he?
Yeah, it was out in Fitchburg that it happened. It's like, for anyone who doesn't know, it's about 50 miles west of Boston.
Okay.
Yeah. I had like a week off maybe from, I was working a job bartending also when I was doing the evenings. So it was like internship and day, bartending at night, and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, those people weren't very helpful either, so that was...
What's the one thing you miss about him the most?
His laugh and stupid-ass dad jokes he'd make all the time. Yeah. He was a riot.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. That's I don't know. Gabby, have you had much death in your life?
Not young death like that. Not friends.
Only... Yeah, for me, if it's all people in their 80s or 90s or whoever, you know, is a matter of time anyways. I don't think I've experienced much, death of a younger person. Like, it's crazy to think about, like, what he could have been. Like, what would James have been if he had continued on?
God, I hate speculating on these kinds of things. It's so depressing. He went to Stockbridge School of Agriculture at UMass, and he was super passionate about landscaping. Like, he built this entire beautiful patio and pond behind his parents' house that is there. You know, I still go, I'm very close to his family. We go over there quite frequently. But he just would have been super successful in whatever he did. Like, he's just a great personality. Everybody loved him. And he was just very sensitive to other people's needs.
Yeah.
Which was really nice.
Do you remember? So you called the hospital and you got through to his parents, right? Who did you get through to?
His dad.
Do you remember what his dad said?
Yeah, I mean, he's very much a man's man. He's extremely stoic. And he just told me that he didn't make it. And I just decided I was going to go to their house and be with them. So that's what I did. Like, my drive home, I just went straight there and stayed with them for the evening.
What's that, like 2 hours?
No, it's about an hour.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a interesting evening.
And what were you thinking all the way there?
Just what the fuck?
Yeah.
This isn't supposed to happen.
No, yeah. That's a crazy thing to think about, too, though. You know, the things that happen and what's supposed to... Because you just... I don't know. We live a pretty insulated life here. You know, we don't really have to worry about bloody government coups or getting eaten by a lion or anything like that, you know, here. So you kind of... I feel like my life is so insulated from tragedy, you know? And to have one absolutely shoved in your face like that at a young age. And I don't know about you, but when I was 23, I was much less in control of my emotions than I am now, right? Like, you go crazy.
It fucks with you. Like, it had a huge impact on every relationship I had after that, which was pretty much just one really long one.
Yeah.
Like, you knew her. Mm-hmm. And it always put in the back of my mind, like, that was right in the start of the relationship. And then, like, within a month, I'm, like, saying I love you because there's this person who's there for you emotionally. So then throughout the duration, I tend to be kind of logical at times, and I'm thinking, am I in love, or did I just say that because this person was here for such an integral moment in my life?
Yeah.
And that's a seed of doubt right there that you shouldn't have planted in your head.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of that in my life, too, where I always say you never forget the people who are there for you when you're way down. Like, when someone picks you up when you're way, way down, I am tremendously loyal to those people. Unfortunately, that has led to some negative things in my life, too, because sometimes you become too loyal to some of those people, and they don't necessarily earn it past that. But, yeah, that's, what do they call it, like tragedy bonding or something like that?
Trauma bonding, I believe.
Yeah.
That's it. Ironically, the opposite of that is, like, advice for dates is take your first date on, like, a roller coaster or something, because the fear and adrenaline of that bonds you in this weird way.
Interesting. So, and sounds oddly manipulative. I like it.
Yeah, Gabby, you should write a book, Gabby. How can I manipulate people into loving me?
That's Aziz Ansari already wrote that book and I read it. And now I'm happily in love. So, you know,
was
there
it
you
modern
go.
Modern Romance?
Yeah.
That was such a good book.
Yeah. So that was really good. Yeah. But the loss of someone so dear to you, and then it must be like a life raft to cling on to, and then you realize, like, well, this isn't a boat. I can't, like, sail anywhere on this. This is just what I needed at this moment. Was that kind of how it turned out?
I mean, I never really know. I have an issue with, like, thoroughly connecting with people, so it kind of... Oh, that's a whole complicated story I can't really get into. But, I mean, we're still friends to this day, I will say that.
Well, yeah, and it's not to say that, like, there's nothing against her, but just the circumstances probably colored that relationship in a way that it wouldn't have had you met, you know, a year earlier or a year later.
Yeah, if I ran into us, like, now and I saw it, say, hey, guys, now's not the time. Take some time for yourself to grieve and, like, control yourself.
Yeah. What did what was the last time you saw James?
I had just stopped over his apartment for a little bit to go visit, and I think we smoked a little bit of pot, watched some stupid TV. He passed out, so I took off.
Yeah.
And that was it. We were making plans to see each other, like, you know, a few weeks from that point.
Yeah.
And then, all that happened, so.
How do you feel about that last interaction? I mean, that seems like it's pretty indicative of your relationship together.
I mean, it was just 100% comfort, you know? It's like, you just Yeah, what's like open door policy. You come in my home anytime. You're always welcome. It's just how it was with life with that person.
So did you feel like this was the kind of a person where they would be accepting of whatever came out of your mouth?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I will
tell you. You're saying that's hard to find.
Yeah, no, 100%. No, you're always there and always honest about things, which was great too. I will tell you one thing that is like morbidly funny. At his funeral, I don't normally get up and speak at people's funerals, but I did because he was so important to me. And I introduced myself as saying, I'm Nate and I'm James' best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then I said a whole bunch of stuff, you know, it didn't make any sense. I'm 23 years old. Like how in depth could a friendship be, objectively speaking? But after I went up, every single other person who considered themselves super close to them, which they were like, I'm so-and-so. And I'm James' best friend.
Oh, shit.
And then his dad followed also. He's like, and I'm his best friend. And it was like a lighthearted turnaround the situation. Because like I felt like an asshole after I said that. I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to like put limits on your whatever. It was a complicated thing, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah, I guess it should have been James is my best friend. Don't want to assume the relationship.
Yeah, things you don't really think of in times of grief.
Yeah, right. Exactly. This whole concept of like a best friend is something that's, you know, this idea of like a pairing of friendship, but it was that kind of your relationship, like a dichotomy, or was it there were a group of guys that you were friends with, or how was
I mean, I don't really do a lot of group hanging. Like I don't have like the boys, you know what I mean? It's like I have a good time when I hang out with Lou. Sometimes I'll have a friend that we have a connection with that we'll come out with together, but I'm very much into one-on-one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a friend who it sounds like is a lot like James, where like everyone loves her. And I'm like, oh, we're definitely best friends because we've been friends since high school. But I'm sure there's about 30 people in this world who would say like, oh yeah, Aaron is my best friend. I was like, we have is real.
Wait, you know Aaron? You know Aaron, Gabby?
There's more than one Aaron, Lou.
No, she's my best friend.
No,
we went to junior college together.
You guys would not at all.
She publicly she publicly renounced you in front of everybody and said that I was her best friend.
I heard that.
I'm gonna have to call her and confirm because this is not acceptable. You can't. It cannot be friends with Lou. No, but yeah, that's they're just those kind of people though that you know everyone loves, and it makes it even the more tragic when they pass.
Yeah, fun thought experiment. You know, I like to do little dumb thought experiments on this show. Think about the person in your life where you feel comfortable just saying the things that you think. Gosh, I'm having trouble thinking of one where I can just let it fly and let it loose. Because there have been people like that in my life, but there's always parts of yourself that you keep secret.
Of course. I mean, very seldom do you find someone who you feel that you're on a similar like intellectual level with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Or moral level too. You're absolutely like, oh, can I say this? When would they be horrified? That's my basic concern, basically. Would they be horrified if I said this to them?
Yeah, someone that you're similar to with across the board is what I should say.
Yeah.
That's very rare to find.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's really a big struggle. God, I've had a lot to think about today. Like, who would that person be?
I hide things from Lou sometimes because I feel like he is a lawyer, so I have to say things like,
I
object.
I will prosecute
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
In your own fucking house, Nate. I in fact, bring in the judge. All right, Gabby, now you have to be Nate's lawyer while I prosecute him, okay?
Okay. I went to a very prestigious law school. It's law.com. not law.edu. I couldn't get in there. Law.com. So, yeah, I'm prepared.
Well, so, you know, just to kind of close it out, I would like for you, if you could, to describe James in three words.
Man, that is an asshole-ish request.
Sure is, buddy. That's why I did it.
Just wonderful. Strong. And kind. I mean, this feels like a cop-out.
No, it's not. Like, Jesus Christ, I would give $10,000 to have somebody say that about me drunk in a bar once. It's pretty awesome. Hard to think of the three better descriptors for a 23-year-old man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Well, it's crazy to think about loss at such a young age where somebody has so much potential, so much, you feel like you've been robbed.
Yeah, I don't recommend it for anybody.
Yeah, you feel like you've been robbed and stolen from because that wasn't that person's time. But unfortunately, you get robbed and stolen from in life. And that's how it goes. Well, how would you say, you know, how would you say that this experience, you know, taught you to be better? Like, what did you learn from it?
I mean, fuck. What did I learn from it? God. Just, I mean, the fragility of life.
Yeah.
Honestly, like how important people can be and how important they are to other people, not just you.
Yeah.
Is a huge thing.
Well, you know what? I think that's a great lesson that life is fucking fragile.
Yeah.
And holy shit, has it gone so fast. And
may
they don't come back. It's hard.
Yeah.
If you could say one last thing to him, what would you say? And if you could say one thing to yourself on that day, what would you say?
So if I could say something to him that day or just now in general?
Just in general.
Just I miss you. Mm. I mean, the wish you were here. There's really nothing else.
Yeah.
And to me on that day, fuck. Don't have the cigarettes. They're not worth it.
Well, a lighthearted way to go on it. But yeah, man, I fucking miss you. That's words to think about, words to remember, because when these people are gone, they don't come back. And it's really hard to think about, but it's true.
Yeah, gone is gone.
It's super true. But if it teaches you something, it teaches you that life is impermanent, which is disgusting and ugly. But it's beautiful, too, because it helps you appreciate every minute of it. It helps give you purpose, something we talked about in the first section of the show, and it's led to a lot of your life choices. So that's a beautiful thing. Tribute to James. Sounds like a great guy. Strong, wonderful, kind. I think everybody would love to have someone say that about them sincerely. And Nate, thanks for telling us about something that's not awesome.
Hey, yeah. It was I'd say it was a pleasure, but
you really bummed me out, man.
I'm just glad to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here too. Thank you for telling us about honest, sincere pain.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do in a public forum. Oh, it's man, important. It's scary.
Nobody likes to really talk about feelings, and I am more than comfortable doing so.
There we go. And we're happy to have you do it. We really appreciate it. And with that, we're going to try to bring up everybody's spirits to finish the show. Because we're going to finish up with the prognosis. Awesome. Lightning round. It is a very simple game. Thank you. Gabby loves the lightning round. I'm going to give both Gabby and Nate three different topics. They have a very simple task. They're simply going to tell me whether that topic is awesome or not awesome with a quick description as to why. Gabby, are you ready to play the lightning round?
Oh, that did it. I'm ready. I'm so ready.
Nate, are you ready to play the lightning round?
I'm ready.
There it is. Okay. We are going to Gabby first. Awesome or not awesome? The ninth grade.
Not awesome. Mm. Basically, like I didn't become a real person until after college anyway. Like I was just like a shell of a person. Yeah. So no, not awesome. Ninth grade. I moved. I was new in school. I didn't have any friends except for Aaron befriended me. So that's a highlight, but no, I'd have to say generally not awesome.
Yeah. I think, you didn't become a real person until after college. I think that date was when you met me. So that's what's going in the record. And, that's what we're doing. There we go. Okay. We're going over to Nate Haskell. Awesome or not awesome? Fitchburg, Massachusetts.
God. If I say anything other than awesome, I sound like a prick. Because no, there's a lot of wonderful people there. I mean,
you're from there, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of not awesome things, but I met a lot of awesome people who made my life a lot better. So I'm going to say awesome.
Begrudgingly.
That's begrudgingly. The most begrudging awesome we've ever had.
No, I love my Fitchburg people, but that place, I have such horrible fucking memories there. As just discussed. So
just 51% awesome?
Yeah.
Would you call friends from Fitchburg my Fitches? Is that a thing that people do?
You should do that.
I might start.
Okay.
I might start.
To coin a phrase. All right. Great.
We're going back to Gabby. Awesome or not awesome. The guy who holds the door for you when you are 20 feet away from the door.
Oh, not awesome. Not awesome.
And why?
Actually, well, it's just awkward because then you feel like you have to like trot over there and it's
you do that little like ambling half run thing.
Yeah, generally, like, I mean, let's not get into a whole thing about chivalry, but I think the rules of door opening should be if the door opens to the opposite direction of you, like you walk through and it opens toward like away from you, then whoever is there should just go through and hold the door from the other side. But you know what I hate is those guys who like try to make themselves part of the wall and like hold, and you have to like shimmy your way past them. Gross. No, I will not tolerate that. So just 5 feet max. What I like to do is I like to push open the door and so it'll close more slowly and the person can approach it.
So you can close it and lock it in front of their face so they can't get in, right?
Yeah. Well, it depends who. I mean, if it's, you're trying to get in the building, well, you know, call the alarm and
you already gave me a key. You gave me a key. I can get into your house at any time. So
I don't recall that.
Yeah. All right. So that's like 112% not awesome for Gabby on that one. Well done. All right. Going back to Nate. Awesome or not awesome. Complete pieces of shit who tip really well.
Oh,
they're pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie.
They are.
I've got so many of those. Holy shit. There's this one guy who comes in. You never know what the fuck he's going to say or what he's on. He like told me I was a time traveling Caligula.
Ooh.
And then drank Bud Light poured into Louis XIII and left a $300 tip.
There you go.
I mean, you know, he's disrupting the people around him, but at what cost?
None to you.
Precisely.
$300.
Yeah. I have to agree with Nate on this. Honestly, if you tip me well, I can put up with anything.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going back to Gabby here.
Sorry, I just have a quick professional question for Nate. Do you think that like voice acting and like your waiter voice, is there some connection there where you practice and hone this customer service voice?
It's great. Yeah, it's wonderful for practicing. I actually love doing customer service calls and talking to like Xfinity, even though I fucking hate that company. Fuck you. You suck, Xfinity.
That's the opposite of a promo. It's just like
A
demo.
If you want to get raped on your prices, please call Xfinity now for shitty service. All right. Sorry, that was a strong word.
I feel great about that, guys. Well done.
Yeah.
We're moving back to Gabby.
Yes.
Awesome or not awesome, asking thoughtful, incisive questions, but never opening up yourself, thus remaining a mystery to your audience. I mean, this could be a question for anybody, really, but I'm going to prospectively ask it to you.
Okay. On the defense, I will answer questions. Honestly, I will, but you never ask them, actually.
I asked you several today.
No, and I answered them sincerely. You just don't believe me. You just don't believe that someone would actually write, bring joy to the world and have that as a serious life goal.
It does sound impossible.
just a little bit of joy. But actually, I think it probably works for the show that I don't divulge too much because then they're like, who is she? What has she done in her past? You know, there's a little bit of mystery, I think, keeps listenership listening.
Ugh, I hate that answer.
Or you could just be interesting. I don't know.
That's a tall order.
Yeah, get her, Nate. Get her. Yeah. All right, we're going back to Nate. Gabby, shut up. I'm transitioning.
I got the glasses. That's all I got. The glasses is my entire personality, according to Lou. And you can't even see them. It's a podcast.
Well, Lou is an asshole who tips well, so.
Yeah! I was describing myself. Okay. Back to Nate to finish it off. Awesome or not awesome, never listening to a podcast that you are featured on regularly.
It's, you know what? I got to say, it's objectively not awesome of me, but it's pretty awesome because I don't have time. I'm sorry.
All right, and an honest answer. Thank you so much. Let me tally up the scores here. And Nate Askell is the winner of the lightning round. Well done.
Woo!
Gabby, tell me more about your childhood and maybe you'd win next time. So That has been this week's episode of, what is this show called? Prognosis Awesome. Where we have talked to bartender extraordinaire, voiceover artist, Nate Haskell. He has told us about finding purpose. And he has told us about savage loss. And I just want to say thanks for opening up. Nate, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks for letting me open up for you.
All right. Well, I'm
should
half,
I leave? I think I should
hard.
Leave.
Gabby, if you could leave. And Gabby, thank you so much for almost opening up and sort of trying. I love you just the way you are.
Oh, thanks, Lou. I try very hard. It just I try to look like I'm not trying. And so I'm doing a great job.
That is too many layers and I can't understand it. But thank you so much for joining us on Prognosis Awesome. This has been a wonderful show where we've talked triumph and sadness. And to close it out, we're going to have Nate Haskell do a little VO work for us. Right. On, he's got some sort of romance book in his head.
So I was like, "What is he? Are we so boring? He just decided to just start reading in the middle of recording
podcast." I'm going to read you an excerpt from a book about a horny time traveling Viking marine.
All right.
Did that All Big Tipper right. give you this book? Is that
we'll get into this later in the next episode, but page 266, he licked and licked. And sucked the chocolate off of her, then making appreciative noises, holding her in place when she squirmed away. By the time he had consumed all of her, except for her female place, he said, "Now, my dear, for the best part, I'm going to eat you." And with that...
Oh, my God! Gabby, I would like your best appreciative noise. Do you have one of those?
I can't believe that's printed in a book!
I'm guessing what's an appreciative noise, Gabby? Can you give me one?
Thank you.
And with that, we're going to close out this week's episode of Prognosis Awesome. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you later.
Yay.
That was disgusting. Truly disgusting. Well done.
That wasn't in the plan, was it? Like,
no,
I just saw it. I seriously, I found this book